This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
The firings last month of the editor and the senior deputy editor of the Canadian Medical Association Journal have sparked a debate over the role of science reporting in the media. The events that led to the firings involve a news article on over-the-counter access to Plan B, the morning-after pill. An executive with the Canadian Medical Association objected to the item following a complaint from the Canadian Pharmacists Association. The objection was passed on to the journal's editors and to the publisher, who told them to withhold the piece. Catherine O'Hara was one of four people appointed to review the issue of editorial independence at the CMAJ. She is an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Communication at Carleton University. Catherine O'Hara joins me this morning from Ottawa. Good morning and welcome to Red Eye.
Thank you, Lisa.
So who were the other three people on the panel with you?
Well, this was a panel that was put together by John Hoey when he was still the editor, because he had felt troubled by the fact that there'd been, the publisher had interfered in not just this one instance, but they'd been building for the last year and a half, 2 years, where when they did do an editorial that seemingly did not please the CMA Holdings, which is the publisher of the CMAJ, which is the journal, and also part of the CMA, which is the publishing wing, he decided that he needed to get some expert opinion in there when he found that he had changed this one Plan B article because of pressure from the publisher. So he asked Jerome Kasserer, who himself was the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and Frank Davidoff, who was the editor of the Annals of Internal Medicine, also a very well-regarded journal in the medical field, and Donald Redelmeyer, who is at the University of Toronto and Sunnybrook Hospital and also on the editorial board of the CMAJ, and myself as basically a journalist. Andre Picard, who, as you might know, is the medical journalist for the Globe and Mail and has been for a long time, also serves on the editorial board. And they found it was just a conflict of interest for him to be on this sort of board, and I don't think his editor at the Globe really wanted him to do that. So I teach science journalism, and I know the issues involved, and we actually have interns from Carleton going and doing internships for a week or two at the Canadian Medical Association Journal in their news department. So I was familiar enough with it that they put me on as a journalist. I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm certainly not an editor of a medical journal, but I am familiar with medical journalism, and so that's where my contribution lay in determining whether or not the journal was within its rights to publish investigative journalism, to be doing news, to publish, in a sense, articles that may be irritating or unfavorable to the Canadian medical establishment, or in this case, the Canadian Pharmacists Association, right, in case of Plan B.
So tell us what was the scope of the inquiry that you were given?
Well, it was, in fact, to look and see whether or not news reporting was part of the scope of the journal, the CMAJ, and investigative news reporting particularly, was that a legitimate activity for medical journals in general and for this particular journal in particular, and did the CMAJ news department conduct itself appropriately in preparing the article that was in question, and questions like whose prerogative is to determine scope and comment of the journal. Normally, one would say editorial independence would imply that was the complete domain of the editor, and if the editor was doing bad things in the opinion of the publisher, like fiscal irresponsibility or totally irresponsible journalism and that sort of thing, then they had grounds to dismiss them, but not certainly for doing the job that they were hired to do. And in that job was the implication that if it was not for editorial independence, you wouldn't have the kind of good journal that the CMAJ has evolved into. So those were some of the questions we were looking. There were also governance questions, like who is truly responsible if there are problems. Is there a good oversight committee that would be in charge of making sure that the editorial independence wasn't breached, and how that worked in the past and how that was going to work? But as I said, I was more concerned with the journalistic issues at stake. And we discovered when we looked at it that Indeed, he was the Plan B article, which I think you mentioned in your introduction, was about access to the Plan B pill. Now, what happened was 13 women in different provinces went to a pharmacist and asked for the pill, and in some cases, you know, the pharmacist, this is a pill that was not a prescription. It was over the counter, but it had to be dispensed by a pharmacist, and there were questions they had to ask, like the time of their last sexual encounter, and that's what, if they were using any kind of birth control in their last period, that sort of thing, just to determine the safety, I guess, of the drug. It's a pretty low-risk drug, by and large. So the problem, I think, in the case of this particular article was that the Pharmacists Association, because the journalist who wrote the article, Barbara Siebold, phoned them to get some comment from them, and their media person immediately alerted the director that the CMAJ was going to publish this article. And the Pharmacists Association got in touch with the Canadian Medical Association publisher and said, you know, like, why are you doing this? So it got revamped so that John Hoey took out, the editor took out the comments from the women who had done the thing, and they put comments from the pharmacists instead, which really changed the tenor of the article. And we found that he should not have given in to the pressure from the publisher. At the same time, more to the point, the publisher never had the right to go and insist that they make these changes in an article that essentially was a perfectly good article. Now, the Pharmacists Association were arguing. Remember, this is a medical association, a medical journal, right? So most of it is peer-reviewed scientific research, either in practice or in different drugs or treatments that are available, right? So you'll get articles that sort of are looking at a double-blind trial to determine the efficacy of this and that and the other thing. You know, things that probably you and I would not just gravitate towards and read, right? That's for their medical community. But also the news section, which they do regularly, which is like beat reporting, right? Just reporting on news and events in the field and medical news. And then in investigative journalism, the best journals do some of that as well. So they were within their right to be doing this investigative journalism. Pharmacists Association said, and consequently the publisher said, no, this should be peer-reviewed medical journalism. It's not science. But as you know, investigative journalism, even the best investigative journalism, is not science. It doesn't prove to be systematic. It's not making claims to be statistically significant, you know, in that sense. It is what it is. It's good underground sort of reporting. And it's done in a way that, you know, the only way you can find these things out is by saying, okay, let's see how this over-the-counter prescription, over-the-counter dispensing goes. If a woman in, you know, Alberta goes into a drugstore in, you know, I guess anywhere in Alberta, let's say Vegreville, and asks for this drug, how is she going to get it? Will there be a place, you know, is there a privacy area where he can ask these, or she can ask these questions of the woman seeking the pill or not, you know, and in some cases there weren't. So in Ontario and Manitoba, we're both forced to look at their Privacy Act and realize that this was contravening the way the Privacy Act had been set up in the province, and also it made the Pharmacists Association look at their guidelines and revamp them, right, to make sure that there was some kind of personal private space to do any kind of questioning rather than in the lineup with everybody and your neighbors getting their, you know, antibiotics or whatever it was, right? So that was how that one shook down. And then it turned out as well that there's more or less a history of this particular publisher, CMAH Holdings and Graham Morris, interfering a little bit. And I think if you look at it, this isn't official because, I mean, that wasn't in our report, but I think it's a question of marketing. I think the marketing people were taking a kind of proactive stance and saying, why would you write an article that was not nice to our social, partners in some way? Why would you write an article that was not friendly to the drug companies? You know, that sort of thing. And I think sometimes, in my opinion, that people in, say, marketing or in publishing don't get it, that if you want to have a journalistically sound enterprise and you want to have good peer review research, you have to let the editor make those choices. And in the case of the Canadian Medical Association Journal, John Hoey, over the past 10 years, had made very strong choices and moved the journal up in its impact rating, which is whether or not researchers and scientists want to publish in that particular journal because it gets cited a lot, because it gets read. It had moved up to number 5 in the world, so it was really doing great guns. And, you know, the fact is it had an editorial side to it. It was interesting, but the publisher in this case didn't seem to see that was the case.
You also fault the editors for bending to the pressure that was applied to them. What do you think they should have done?
Well, the problem there, I guess, is the one in governance. The oversight committee is where they would have taken their complaint normally, but the oversight committee didn't see that this complaint was worth actually convening for. So Stephen Choi, who was the third person to leave, the top two, as you mentioned, John Hoey and Henry Todkill, were fired. And then Stephen Choi became acting editor, and he stayed on and tried to draft 10 points on governance so that this wouldn't become a problem with him or anyone else who took on that job. And in that case, they insisted that people, one of his points was that people on the oversight committee, for instance, a CMA employee or a representative of the Canadian Medical Association, should not be chair of the oversight committee. They can be on the committee, but they shouldn't be chairing it, right? The feeling was that the oversight committee was just in name and wasn't really functioning. It wasn't proactive. It wasn't somebody, a body that these editors could go to and try and get some resolve. So the Antonio Lamarre, as you know, the Canadian Medical Association, in an attempt to do some damage control, because as it turns out, there's been a great deal of support for the editorial position of Hoey and all the others. There's now been five people who are gone from that journal, right? The two fired, two quit, and a third one quit last week, editor. But the feeling was, you know, the Canadian Association Journal, the Canadian Journalists, the Canadian Science Writers Association came out against it, the New England Journal of Medicine last week, The Lancet, which is number one journal in the world, came out and basically said that it was, you know, that medical journals have a long history of investigative journalism through which they perform an important watchdog function by challenging the forces that undermine the values of medicine. And the final line in the editorial was to distinguish between a journal's responsibility to publish peer-reviewed research and investigative journalism is false. Journals have a responsibility, in fact, a duty to do both. So
That does seem like that's what the larger issue is here, is what is the role of a journal like the CMAJ? What value do you think it could have for the medical community and for the public at large?
Well, I think, you know, as I said, so much of our information that we get in the media comes through journals, especially medical journals, right, because they publish results and we get, you know, as reported in the journal Lancet, as reported in the New England Journal of Medicine, as reported in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. So these people are in a position, the editors of these journals, because they've got really good science, because the research, the articles they publish have been peer-reviewed, and that means, you know, usually three outside reviewers look at the research and make sure that it's correct, and if it's not, if they find fault with it, they send it back to the original writer and say, listen, you've got to fix this data, I don't understand this, you know, really doing it. And so often it takes a good 6 months or so from the time an article is submitted to the time it's published, if the peer review is rigid and rigorous, and in the case of the CMAJ, it has been under Dr. Hoey, and others as well. I mean, you can't run a good medical journal if you don't have good peer review research. But on the other hand, the idea that they have a responsibility to the medical community and the wider society is also inherent in some of the publishing. The Lancet, when it was first started, I think in 1836 or so, basically was there to lance the boil on the medical establishment when it misbehaves. And, you know, there's a lot of nepotism and all that stuff, and they published about it. And, you know, the CMAJ, it's not like it's doing investigative journalism all the time. They've done one article that was really well-received 2 years ago on C. difficile and the whole problem of hospital bacteria and antibiotic-resistant bacteria that was thriving in the hospitals and killing people. And, you know, a number of journalists, the CBC just won an award for their work based on that kind of information. So I think it is the responsibility, and I have no problem with this, that the journals that know the most about what's going on also see the most and can actually get to stories and have the research behind them to do it, whereas a lot of journalists don't have the time, resources, or in some cases the expertise to be able to figure all this stuff out themselves, right? They rely on good publishing in the medical journals.
Well,
and if the medical journals do a good investigative, then they can bring it much further out into the public.
Thank you very much for joining us, Catherine.
Okay, you're more than welcome.
I've been speaking with Catherine O'Hara. She holds the CTV Chair in Science Broadcast Journalism at Carleton University and was one of four people appointed to review the issue of editorial independence at the CMAJ. If you would like to read the report they produced, you can find a link to it on our website, which is coopradio.org/redeye.